Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, titled, Ye Are Complete in Him. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now we begin our study in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, titled, Ye Are Complete in Him. This is part 1 of 2.
And the rest of the important things. Speaking of ye are complete in Him. And I'm not talking about Kanye. See how I segued that in? Some of you are sitting there thinking, why is he talking about Kanye? Oh, lighten up. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And we're going to read verse 9 and 10, just for context. But instead of worldly philosophy and tradition, we find our meaning in Jesus Christ. So let's read verses 9 and 10 of Colossians 2. Read it with me. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now we're going to kind of zone in on that first portion of verse 10. And ye are complete in Him. And sadly, most believers fail to understand what we are in Him. And it's just a strange thing over the years I've seen when I have taught on this subject. I've kind of picked up on, and I'm not picking up on it right now, at least yet. But in the past, I picked up on it like, oh, this is, you know, Sunday school material. But as I said, we discuss what we are in Him. That's talking about you being in Christ, in Jesus. And people just kind of blow this off as though it's just grade school Sunday school material, when the reality is, I found most Christians do not know these things. And here's what the problem is. A lot of Christians seem these days to either do one of two things. On the one hand, they're only really concerned with what God can do for them in their wallet. There's a whole segment of professing Christianity today, and I'm not just talking about the Word Faith Charismatics, by the way. There's a whole segment of Christianity where it's all about finances. Yeah. And all about money. Yeah. Now, I didn't say we shouldn't know what the Bible says about finances and money. What I'm saying is if that's your focus, you're out of focus. Amen. Amen. But it does need to be said that this whole blab it and grab it thing is also unbiblical just as much. And but then there's the other side who is into all supernatural, but it doesn't have anything to do with their supernatural relationship with the Lord. It has to do with the world of the supernatural and spooky things. And even Bible prophecy. As much as you know, I think all Christians should love Bible prophecy, but to have this overemphasis on it where they just always want to know what's, you know, the latest thing coming down the pike and the hair stand up on the bed. And if it's not that, then they just zone out. And I am not going to name names or anything like that, but I could tell you story after story of a person like that, because when I've known them through the years, they fall off the wagon. Because at some point, that stuff, because that's not what it's all about, that stuff will begin to just leave you empty. It'll leave you with a... How many of you woke up in the middle of the night just parched, needing something to drink? Yeah. I mean, it happens, and it's kind of aggravating. And because you got to get up. You don't want to. You're like, maybe I can just choke my way through this. And you got to get up. And then if you're my age, then an hour later, you got to get up again. Amen? You know what I mean? Amen. My age and older. But that's the way it is with these folks with their, if we compare getting a good night's rest to having rest in the Lord, having joy in the Lord and everything, they just can't, it's like they just cannot be satisfied. with what the Lord has for them. And I just have to mention that as we get into this study. If we're going to live a life of joy and victory, we must know who we are in Christ. Amen. It's just that simple. How many of you want to be bummed out all the time? Raise a hand. I see that hand. Now, the truth is, I know people who do. I know people who enjoy, as a preacher one time, and I heard this story, I believe it's true. Preacher got up and he was a guest speaker and he had his wife with him. And he says, "Yes, I'd like to introduce my wonderful wife who has enjoyed 60 years of bad health." It'll take a few minutes for some of you. Enjoyed 60 years of bad health. People love being miserable. How many people you go out to, "How you doing?" "Oh, rheumatism. Oh, my back. Oh." How many, you know people like that? Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. Not me. I'm not talking about me. I don't always complain. But I tell people that, you know, I don't want to even talk about it because I don't want to be complaining all the time. Because some of us have what we call chronic health issues. And so we just rather, not that we're going to lie to you, but we just would rather not always give you the lowdown on all our aches and pains. But there are some people who enjoy doing that. In my circle of friends, and it was a kind of a joke, and we always said the one thing you never ask is, "How are you doing?" Because they would tell you. And some people love that. But for those of us who want to experience joy, how many of you like victory? Isn't it nice being a Buckeye fan?
Amen.
I mean, you know what victory tastes like. Amen. There's Pennsylvania teams, pray for them. Or if you're an Ohio football fan and you have a professional team that you root for, you don't know what victory tastes like very often. Just for the record, today is September 30th of 2018, and the Browns had just won the first game in, what, 3 years or something like that? Yeah. Wow. How many of you want your Christian life to be like being a Browns fan? Amen? I don't. And before we jump in here, we also need to differentiate between two things, practical and positional. You'll hear people say, "Well, that I practically this, or I practically that." Practically means practice, what you practice. It used to be the churches would put right out there for everybody to know their statement of faith and practice. Now they hide it. They don't want anybody to know they stand for anything. But they used to be right out there. And we've got our statement, and I'm wanting to get one printed up just so it'll be here for people to look at. But your faith is what you believe. Your practice it's not like practicing baseball or football or practicing, you know, guns, shooting. It's what you actually do. And so there's truths that are true about you in a practical sense of your daily life. There are also truths that may not even be obvious to you with your flesh and your eyes, but they are true positionally. Brother Stephen was talking this morning. Where did he go? What happened to him? I just noticed he did. He was talking about this morning that, you know, there are things that are true about us that we don't necessarily see. But it's still true. We kind of got into that a little bit this morning. But practical and positional, those are the two things. Keep that in mind. So the first thing I want to discuss with all my brethren and sisters is that in Christ, if you're saved this morning, if you're saved, you are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then you are righteous. Do you know that? Philippians 3:9 says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." See, there are too many religious people who think that they're going to be righteous by what they do. That's not how it works. As a matter of fact, if you get this thing right, what you understand is you are righteous because of what Christ did, and any righteousness that we see in you is because of what He's doing in you. Even the good things you do with the right motive, you don't deserve the credit for. God's the one doing it in you. All you're doing is letting God work. Amen? Here's how it looks on a little chart I made. You're down here. Jesus went to the cross. Amen. Our sins and iniquity were laid on Him. Amen. He paid the price that only He could pay. Amen. Again, Stephen talked about this morning. Only Jesus could have paid for our sins. None of you could have died for your sins or mine. No human being who ever lived could have died for our sins. No angel could have died for our sins. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Well, then He couldn't have died for our sins because angels are created. The only one who could have died for the sins of the whole world is the one who created us. Amen. The uncreated, only begotten Son of God, who is infinite, without beginning, without ending, who is holy and without sin. He went to the cross, died for our sins, and that is why when He died for our sins, it was a payment that covered us all. Amen. But if He had not been God manifest in the flesh, He could not have died for His own sins, let alone yours and mine. That's what's crazy about all the cults who deny His deity and say He's not God. So His righteousness then becomes our righteousness by faith. When you repent toward God, you're saying, I'm no longer going to rely on me being a good person. And I am going to turn away from those sins. I have a heart change. I don't want to live in sin. I don't want to commit sins. I understand I am a sinner. I am repenting totally toward God. With faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on His death, burial, and resurrection for eternal life. And at that moment, you understand the moment you were saved, that moment His righteousness was imputed onto your account. And since that day when God has looked at you, thank God He doesn't see you. Amen. He sees Jesus. That's why it says you're in Christ. You're literally, think of it that way, in Christ. And when God looks at you, He sees Jesus, not you. Therefore, He doesn't see your sin. He sees the perfection of His Son. Amen. He sees the righteousness of His Son. That's why He bothers to even listen to you when you pray. He wouldn't even bother to listen. The only prayer, I believe the only prayer that God is attentive to when it comes from an unsaved man or woman is a prayer once they're saved. Until they're saved, He's not listening. The Bible says that. We don't have time to run all the references. Look them up this week. That God does not listen to the wicked. Now, of course, He doesn't mean He's deaf toward them and He doesn't hear what they say at all, but to listen in this sense is He doesn't receive what they say. He doesn't take it in and respond to it. But if you're His child, He looks down and you're talking, but He sees Jesus. And therefore He responds. He doesn't always say yes. So sometimes He'll say no, just like a good dad does to the kids. Yeah, Doug? Should be.
Have joy in
that. Amen.
There,
amen.
Week,
and that basically is what it means to walk in the flesh. And you won't walk in the Spirit, you don't enjoy your salvation. You know, you can be saved and not enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. You can be happy with what He's done for you.
The psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me my salvation at that time. The joy. So practically, in a practical sense, we still sin. And here people want to argue with you, and if they say they don't sin, they're sinning right there because they're lying. Now, it's not that we wake up every day and say, well, let's get this over with and just go sin. But it means that you're still a fallen creature and you will still sin. And it's just like, you don't want to trip and fall. But I'll guarantee you, especially the older you get, you're going to trip, you're going to fall, you're going to stumble. But it doesn't mean you can't walk. It just means you will stumble. So there's Christians should live lives that are pleasing to the Lord, and we can avoid sin, and we can sin less, but we just won't be sinless. There's a space between sin and less. We should sin space less, but we are not going to be sinless, not in this life, the one to come. So positionally, though. Positionally, right now, everybody who's saved in this room, you are without sin. Positionally, you are without sin. That's the only reason you're not going to hell. If sin was still on your account, you'd be damned. Secondly, in Christ, we are a new creation. We are a new creature, is exactly how the King James says it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new creature. Now, that's one that, again, is kind of obvious when it comes to the practical. But you see this, we have a banner that we've had up in the past. We took it down recently, so I put it up here. But it shows old things are passed away, and it looks kind of like Hurricane Florence. But then as in Christ, all things become new, and it looks like a beautiful day at the Niagara Falls. And that's just a word picture, they call that. For spiritually speaking, that is a reality for everyone who's saved. If you're in Christ, old things are passed away. All things are become new. So practically, we still have our sin nature. Everyone here this morning, you still have a nature towards sin. That's why you had better be putting up walls, putting up borders, setting borders in your life, having guidelines, guarding your heart, guarding your eyes and your mind. Because if you don't, your nature will take over. Amen. And you will fall. Now, I'm just up here to tell you that just this is true about every pastor. I hear people say they put some pastors like they think they're some almost already glorified or something. I don't care who your pastor is, if he, starting today, lays aside God's word, ceases his prayer life, begins tuning into the pornography on the internet or cable or dish network or DirecTV or whatever, and starts filling his mind with that stuff, he's already fallen, and you will see it in his life at some point. Amen. It's just like a sore that eventually will come to skin level, and you'll see it. And so I'm not up here saying, I've arrived and you need to do what I do. You only need to do what I do when you see me doing what the Bible says we should do. And no matter whether it's me or you, there may be somebody in here right now who thinks you're so close to the Lord and grown so much that you can just kind of wing it the rest of the way in and not be in the Word, not be in Bible study, and not be in prayer, and you won't fall. You've already taken your first step down into the pit. Practically, you still have a sin nature, and you'd better be in the battle. If you're not fighting your own sin nature, you're already going in the wrong direction. And positionally now, you're a child of God. In other words, your nature is wicked. But positionally, you are. Not going to be, not trying to be. You are a child of God. And you know what? God won't kick you out of the family if you fail. Whether it's sin or just a mistake you make or you just make some bad judgments or whatever, God is your Father. He's not kicking you out of the family. Positionally, you are a child of God, and that's forever. But that should motivate you to want to please your Father. Amen?
Amen.
Thirdly, in Christ, we have eternal life.
Amen.
Most churches today, when you take all the Protestants and Catholics or any so-called Christian church, they are teaching their people that they're on probation. You don't have eternal life, but you could if you keep doing what you're supposed to do. Keep on doing all the things we tell you to do. Follow our sacraments. Follow our statements. Come to our services and give your money and give of your time and keep on and keep climbing and keep climbing. One of these days, I'm going to make it. And that's how you hear. You go to some of the churches, you'll hear the testimonies. I've heard them. Tracy, I know you've heard it. I've been traveling this road a many year, and I'm going to keep going and keep climbing and keep fighting, and one of these days, I'm going to make it. Climbing up the rough side of the mountain. You know what? If you're saved, you're there.
Amen.
Now, practically speaking, it's one thing. But positionally, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Amen.
You're in Christ, then you're in eternal life.
Amen.
He is the resurrection and the life. He is eternal life. In Christ, you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13 is one that a lot of us were taught right after being saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It says ye have eternal life. You have it. It's a present possession. It belongs to you. And it can't be taken away from you any more than someone can take away your birthday. If someone can take away your birthday, you have something to worry about, I guess. I don't know about you, but I've had the same birthday since I was born. And you ain't going to take mine away. And that ought to be your attitude about eternal life. Don't let some heretic talk you out of it.
Amen.
You have eternal life, and you can have joy and victory, if no other reason, just waking up every day and say, I'm saved. I have eternal life. Stock market's down. Stock market's crashing. And they're going to impeach the president. And here comes a hurricane that's going to hit Ohio. How's that? Or it's going to happen. And, you know, well, I'm saved. I have eternal life. And listen, you know, as we're going to say here, practically, we still die physically. And practically, even beyond that, on a daily basis, we need to remind ourselves because we get caught up in what's going on in this world. We get caught up in how bad this life can be at times. And, you know, you can just enjoy the ride, even when it's rough. I'm preaching as much to myself as I am anybody. There's been times where I've just been like, "Ah, this is crazy." But then there's been other times where people have gotten mad at me because I'm not more upset. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, but in the moment right now, I've got this thing kind of the way it ought to be. I've got the right perspective, and you're not going to talk me out of it. How many of you remember, some of you here, when I woke up one day and couldn't see? And we were talking about, it was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago when that happened. Yeah, it was before Mariah was. And people did, I had actually had some people say, I didn't really think it was that bad. And I said, why? He says, well, you didn't seem that upset. I said, well, I was upset. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I didn't wake up and say, well, bless the Lord, I'm blind. Hey, Martha, guess what? I'm going to have to borrow your dog. And Martha, I'll tell you right now, if somebody could just snap their finger and give her the ability to see, well, sure. But you know what? When I couldn't see, and, you know, I guess even now I get a little more upset than I did at the time, but I couldn't really see my daughter getting married. And I had this blockage, you know, and constantly trying to look over to see, you know, and then, and you know, I could see enough, but I just so much of what I couldn't take in. Such an important day. And I'll be honest with you now, I'll tell you, I cried a little that morning. I got a little emotional. Because I thought, you know, this is just such an important day. But then I thought, you know what? I'm still here. I'm still going to see it, at least, you know, enough of it. I could have just dropped dead that morning instead of not being able to see. I was able to walk her down the aisle and give her away. And you see what I'm saying? And we're going to be together forever. That's the best part of all the things I was thinking about that day. I thought, you know, this is, she's going to get married and she's going to have her family. But you know what? We're going to be together forever. And I'll have perfect vision forever. And she'll be all glorified and that hair will be not just long and dark and dark eyes. She's going to have hair white like wool, eyes like fire. We're going to be like Jesus. See, that's pretty crazy. Well, I'm sorry, but that's what I was thinking of the day she got married. That was going through my mind. And yes, we're going to die physically. But positionally, we'll never die. Now you see how it may not be exactly the same way, but that's how my mind was affected by the truth of God when I was dealing with being almost, I was legally blind and couldn't hardly see my daughter getting married. I just saw enough. But we're going to be together forever. That's how it affected me on a real basis. Positional truths affecting me in my daily walk. That's what the Bible's supposed to do to you. And no, I don't practice this as well as I should. There's times where I don't put this into practice. But when there's times where I have, and I'm so thankful for the positional truths that help us get through the practical daily walk. Amen? A fourth thing, in Christ, we are set apart for God. Now, that's something that we want to try to put into practice, but it's true, period. 1 Corinthians 1:20, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified, that means to be set apart. Called to be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I'll say something to throw some of you, but that includes even the heretics. Amen. You don't go to hell for being a heretic. You know that? You can get saved and be a heretic. I've been a heretic in my life a few times. When I was first in the ministry, man, I'm glad they didn't record those messages. I mean, there's some bad stuff I've been taught and bad stuff that I relate. I was still saved. It says, all that in every place call upon the name of... How many of you saw what happened in Indonesia? I mean, a lot of you may not because our news is...